Yesterday we started Kitab al-Fadail, the book of virtues, or the chapters of virtues. Actually, these virtues are a sign of the great amount of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being Khalik, despite being Malik, despite being Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created us, Allah is the one that is full control, and Allah is the one that gives orders. That the person that has created, the person that is the master, all he needs to do is to give the order and the hukam to the servant. Isn't such a thing as remunerating the servant? Because after all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything within us. He's created the means of our survival. He's created the oxygen. He's created the food. He created water. He's created the systems within the body. All Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to do is give the command. There's no such thing as do this and then I will give you this. If you do that, I'll give you this. But this is a sign of extreme love. Ulama give an example. It's like that father that tells that son of his that if you do well in madrasa, if you finish so many siparas of gifts, then I will remunerate you, I'll give you such and such a gift. If you do so well in school, I'll give you such and such a gift. All the father needs to do is tell the child that you must do well because I'm spending so much of time and money on your education and I'm making so much of effort to see that you go to school, to fetch you from school, to make all your arrangements. All I'm asking for you to do is to do well. That's all the father needs to do. But that father that has got extra love, he'll try and motivate the child. If you do this, I'll give you this. So this is a sign of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That despite him being in a position where he can just command for us to do, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is so much for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do this, whether it's something that is further, something that is wajib, something that is sunnah, something that is mustahab, and this is what I am prepared to give for you. So this Kitab al-Fadail, the chapter on virtues, generally ulama, the compilers of hadith, they would categorize their kitabs in 8 different chapters. And one chapter specifically is linked for virtues. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi, after bringing the various adab, we did the adab of sleeping, the etiquette of sleeping, of eating, of going to the toilet, the etiquettes of coming to the masjid, leaving the masjid, the etiquettes of travel, all the different etiquettes we did. Now Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought the chapter on the different types of virtues. Yesterday we started the virtues of reciting Quran. And we mentioned one thing, reciting of Quran means moving the lips together with reciting the Arabic text. Sometimes we think that, no, let us just read the English. This will suffice as being recitation of Quran. There'll be barakah, there'll be benefit in it, but this is not reciting of Quran. Reciting of Quran has a different benefit. A person takes out time and he recites the Arabic text. This has got a different meaning and it has a different impact on the heart. Anyway, today's hadith. An Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allama. Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he was such a great sahabi that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 2 daughters were married. After one daughter had passed away, he married the next daughter. So he was known as Dhun Nurain. And his qabr is also the one of the biggest ones that is marked off in Jannatul Baqi. He was fortunate to be the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marrying both the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's reporting this hadith. He's saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خيركم, the best amongst you is that person that learns the Quran and he teaches it. Now here sometimes we will normally hear this in a hadith, but this learning of Quran in all the different angles of the Quran, all the different types, and the different elements that are involved for somebody learning and teaching the Quran. For example, that mother that is teaching the child at home, alif, ba, ta, ta, she's also making an effort to teach the child Quran. She is also involved in learning and teaching of the Quran. And that child now learns at a slightly higher level, he goes by the ustad and he learns how to look inside and read. He's also that ustad or that mother that or the father that's teaching the child is also part and parcel of this hadith, that person that learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. And then comes the hibz ustad, now he teaches the child to memorize the Quran. And then even at a higher stage also, learning and teaching of the Quran would mean learning and teaching of the tafsir of the Quran, the meanings of the Quran, the laws of the Quran. Even if a person is teaching the fiqh of the Quran, the jurisprudence that is coming out of the Quran, all this falls under the category of learning and teaching Quran. I mean, it doesn't mean now that we are not hafiz, we can't benefit, we can't take advantage of this hadith. Even if we see one child and we're teaching one simple surah, teaching surah Fatiha, inshallah there's hope that we'll fall under the category of this ayah, of this hadith, that the best amongst you is that person that learns the Quran and he teaches the Quran. The one more hadith. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الذي يقرأ القرآن وهو ماهر به مع السفرة الكرام البررة. عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها said رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that person that recites the Quran whilst he is a master in reciting, in other words, he has perfected how to read the Quran, this person has learned how to read the Quran fluently, then this person will be with those noble and righteous angels. Ulama explained what is meant by safaratil kiram in barara, those angels that actually fall in the kafla, in the caravan of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who used to take that wahi to the different people, to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So this person will be in that high ranking category. Why? Because he has mastered the art of reading Quran, he has learnt it, he is fluent in reading Quran. And for people like us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave hope. Second part of this hadith, وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَوُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرًا مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. That person who recites the Quran and he stutters and he battles and he finds it hard, وَهُوَ شَاقٌ لَهُ, it is difficult for him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَهُ أَجْرًا, this person is getting double reward. What is meant by that? Is that he is getting reward for trying. He is making an effort, he is not fluent in reading the Quran, but he is taking out some time every day and he is trying from his side, whether it's 2 pages, whether it's 3 pages, he's trying to read, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying he's getting double reward. It will give us so much of hope. That this, now deen isn't such that we didn't learn when we were young, so now there's no hope. So many people say we don't know how to read Quran. Doesn't matter, this hadith gives so much of hope. And even now you try and you stutter and you falter, but don't give up trying to read the Quran, you're getting double reward. So yeah, this is such a beautiful hadith giving us so much of encouragement. First is showing us the reward for a person that recites Quran. And the next thing is, it gives us hope that even if we haven't mastered up till now the recitation of Quran, we're getting so much of reward by reading Quran. Ulama explained, it doesn't mean now that person that made the effort and he learned Quran and he is fluent in it, he's not getting it. He's getting his reward. But to encourage us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, don't worry, for your effort also, you are getting reward. And one hadith that we mentioned yesterday, something nice to keep in front of us, is that the tilawat of Quran that we're doing, it will get a physical form. Whenever we go somewhere, we like to have company. Everyone likes to have some company, whether he's going for Umrah, he's going for Hajj, or a person is just going from here to Johannesburg. Nobody likes to go alone. We all like to have company. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this Quran a physical form. This Quran will be our companion in the qabr. This Quran will be our companion in Akhirat. And this Quran, as we did in yesterday's hadith, will not only be our companion, it will be our advocate. Our advocate, our counsel there on the day of Qiyamah. And it will intercede and it will fight for us on the day of Qiyamah. It will argue on our behalf that this person used to stay up at night to recite me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you forgive this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person used to recite me. Allah grant his forgiveness. So on the day of Qiyamah also, the Quran will be at our side. So how foolish we'll be if we don't take out some time every day to recite Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.